Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, right here on Bagels and Blessings, you're going to hear the testimony of Mitch Forman. He's a Jewish man that found his Messiah. You're going to love his testimony, and you're going to love the music. I'm really glad you're with me. Stay tuned, and I'll be right back. Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, 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 Am Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, Thursdays from 2 to 5, and Saturdays after services up till 1 o'clock p.m. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester, New York area, be sure to visit Shema Yisrael and the Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Of course, that was the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel, and that was called the Shabbat Medley. Next up, one of my favorite worship songs from Ted Pierce, Hallelujah Et Adonai. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I hope that you are praising Him morning, noon, and night. Praise Him when you wake up. Praise Him at lunchtime. Praise Him at supper time. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Hallelujah Et Adonai. Let us praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise Him with the cymbals, praise Him with the dance, praise Him with the shofar, praise Him with your hands. Praise Him with the timbrel, praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the drum and the flute, praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai. praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Praise Him with the cymbals, praise Him with the dance, praise Him with the shofar, praise Him with your hand, praise Him with the timbrel, praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the drum and the flute, praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai. Come and praise the Lord. And let everything that has breath come and praise the shofar, praise Him with your hand, praise Him with the timbrel, praise Him with the harp, praise Him with the drum and the flute, and praise Him with your heart. Hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, hallelujah, Adonai, come and praise the Lord.
That's what we do every Shabbat at Congregation Shema Yisrael, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. So I invite you to come and praise the Lord with us. We really have a fantastic time. He is so good, and we love lifting our hands to Him and singing His praises. And the dancing, oh, the dancing is incredible. Well, thank you so much for listening to the program. Now here's an important announcement about an upcoming class. If you have had or have been involved in an abortion decision, you may be experiencing emotional difficulties. You may feel like your life is out of control or struggle with self-destructive behaviors. You can find freedom from these challenges. The ministry Finding Freedom and Forgiveness Post-Abortion can help. Groups are forming now. Please contact us at 585-204-7869. Email us at fffpaclass@gmail.com or visit us on the internet at f3pa.org. God bless you. Again, that phone number is 585-204-7869. Your call will be confidential. We just want to give you some extra loving and a big hug and help you receive God's forgiveness.
Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through
us come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. La 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 la. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God.
Hi, this is Greg Silverman, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Sometimes, if you're very quiet and keep still, you can hear the angels sing. Here is a beautiful song, Elohim. It's with Daniel Kopp and Sarah Lieberman. Enjoy.
You knew me in my mother's womb.
My voice to the heavens, I pray.
was made in secret.
Oh, that is such a gorgeous song. I don't think I've played that on the air in quite a long time. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you for tuning in to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for an interview with Mitch Foreman, but I have time for more music, so I think I'm going to pick something from Joshua Aaron. This is Hu Yavo, He Will Come.
Zion's king will restore the land. The clouds will part and our king will descend. The fire in his eyes, seven stars at his right hand. Hu Yavo. Slain, he'll come again, our conquering king. On that day, his sword will go forth to take back and restore what belongs, what belongs to our Lord. We Yavo, we Yavo, we Yavo, Yeshua, we Yavo, Yavo. Go forth to the ends of the earth, preparing the way of the Lord, reckoning the day when Israel will say, Baruch Haba, Hashem Adonai, Hu Yavo, Hu Yavo.
What a great song from Joshua Aaron. I think I have to do that for worship sometime really soon. Well, stay tuned for my interview with Mitch Foreman. But in the meantime, here's a word from Earl Schillinger on how you can support Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Every so often, I just like to think about the good old days. It was the middle 70s, early 80s, and the first Messianic group I ever heard of was Lamb. And this song was the one that really pierced my soul. Baruch Hashem.
The heart of the Jews, Jerusalem, the Messiah, his only king. And when in the soul of a Jew he reigns, peace to the city he brings. Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Behold the son of Abraham, sent by God our people to redeem. When he came forth from Bethlehem, I heard the angels sing. Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Bless his name, for his name is good. Yeshua HaMashiach is the name I love. Bless his name, for his name is good. Sanctified us by his blood. Now we drink his wine of joy, filled with the spirit of Adonai, united in the love Messiah brings. Now we sing to Elohim. Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. HaMashiach, Yeshua, Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Baruch Hashem, Adonai.
Here's Kathy Schuster. Every day I will bless you.
Ha
This is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. You might have noticed something interesting on this program. A lot of different songs. And that's the excitement that I face every week when I'm putting the program together. There are so many wonderful Messianic artists. There are so many songs. And so I pulled some songs out of the air today that maybe you haven't heard on this program in a long time, because there are just so many, you know. It's just great. I love playing all these songs. Well, again, that was a great song from Kathy Schuster. And up next, my interview with Mitch Forman. Enjoy, darling. Enjoy. Mitch Forman, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, and looking forward to a little chat this morning.
Well, I've heard your name off and on for years, and I don't know why it's taken this long to finally get you on the air, but here you are, and I would love to hear about your life. Let's start with how you grew up. Did you grow up in a typical Jewish home?
I did, and obviously typical Jewish in the 60s and 70s is different than today, but I grew up a little north of Boston. Both of my parents were Jewish, and all my grandparents were Orthodox and kept kosher, and that was pretty typical. Had a typical upbringing and learned Hebrew, went to Hebrew school. We went to a Reform synagogue and got bar mitzvah at the age of 13. We always celebrated the Jewish holidays, and like, again, very typical at that time, after my bar mitzvah, we really didn't go to synagogue anymore and never stopped, in a sense, feeling or calling myself Jewish, but we didn't do anything spiritual after that.
Gotcha. Kind of like a cultural Jew.
Correct.
Yes. Well, growing up, did your friends or family ever say anything about Jesus, or was it only a swear word in your house?
Well, you know, it's funny, because when I was growing up in the 60s, I think Vatican II probably had an effect on how I was being raised, because I was never called dirty Jew or Christ killer. Never remember that being said to me at all. And I lived in a neighborhood that it was half Jewish, half Catholic, and we all got along pretty good. So I can't tell you that I had a bad experience with Jesus. I didn't have any experience, to be honest with you, that was bad, other than the fact that I knew during Christmas, you know, we would have to watch all the Christmas lights go up and all of that. But for the most part, I was kind of spared from that, and maybe that was one of the ways that God used my life for me to later on accept the gospel message, because it wasn't like it was, you know, unattainable in my life.
So that leads me to another question, Mitch. When did you first consider that Jesus might be the Messiah?
Well, it wasn't really till I went to college. Graduate of UMass and Amherst, and at one point in my college career, I forget when it exactly was, but I had read or heard that Bob Dylan had become a Christian.
And
that was kind of fascinating to me, because I knew Bob Dylan was Jewish, and I couldn't understand why he converted. So I was intrigued, but that was before the internet, so you really couldn't, you know, find out why and how that came about, other than if you happened to read it in a magazine. So I was curious on what he believed, so I actually took an English class that was focused on the Bible, and it was focused not from a spiritual standpoint, but a literary standpoint. And that was the first time I actually read the Bible. Textbook was the King James Version of the Bible. It was the first time, really, I had read the stories firsthand of all the things that I was told growing up. But for me, it was pretty exciting to read about Abraham, Moses, the Exodus, King David. And I told myself, Ethel, that I was not going to open up to the New Testament, because the one thing that I did hear growing up, never read the New Testament, because if you do, it's something bad's going to happen.
Oh, dear.
So I just decided I'm not going to even look at that section of the Bible. I knew eventually we would get to it. And I remember very specifically, Ethel, that time of class, where it was a Monday morning, we had finished the Old Testament, we were now ready to go into the New Testament, and for the most part, I was just thinking, okay, we heard about the Jews in the Old, now we're going to hear about Gentiles in the New, which again is probably very common for most Jewish people that the New Testament is all about Gentiles.
Right.
It's their book. So I remember opening up to the book of Matthew, and I remember reading the first verse. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of Abraham, the son of David. And it, like, hit me right then and there. And as the class was starting to continue to read the genealogies, I was shocked because it was like, whoa, this is Jewish.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
Wow.
And, right? And I always was told that Jesus was Jewish. But in the back of my mind, I just kind of felt like he converted and started Catholicism. You have to understand, in the part of Boston that I lived, I never encountered, never met anybody who was not Catholic. So the whole understanding of Christianity was through the lens of Catholicism, because that's kind of, you know, that was my world. But that shocked me. In a sense, Jesus was Jewish. And then as we continued to read, you know, in the class, I realized the New Testament was actually more about Jews than Gentiles. And that was really confusing to me, because I was, you know, kind of taught the exact opposite. Shocked, Ethel, when I found out that Peter and Paul were not Catholic and that they were Jews.
Yeah. Very shocking.
Now, I can't tell you that I remember the gospel being presented. We probably talked about it. We probably read about it. But I don't remember that in my memories of anything substantial other than the fact that the New Testament was Jewish and Jesus was Jewish, but it was still something that all the Gentiles embraced and Jews did not. And that's kind of how I left that class, having, I think, a likeness for Jesus in the New Testament, and that was it. I graduated. I became a professional chef.
Ooh.
And in my life, I was fortunate because I worked in the best hotels and restaurant in Boston. And then I went out to California to find fame and fortune, because in the early 80s, there was a whole food movement happening in San Francisco. And I moved there, and I became very much involved. And in fact, I worked, I'd like to promote it, because it actually helped shape the way that people eat today. But I worked at a restaurant called Stars in San Francisco, led by Jeremiah Tawa, which at that time might have been the most creative, influential restaurant in the world.
Wow, I'm impressed.
So, yeah, so I was able to work at the top echelon, and can rightfully say that I was part of a group of chefs that helped change the way that America and the world views food and almost everything we do today. And that might be another subject, because I love food and I love my faith, but everything that we started doing back then is still being carried on today.
Well, that's really exciting, Mitch.
Uh-huh. But I think God's hand was with me because, you know, San Francisco, as you know, is also the seat of kind of some of the modern-day messianic movement as well, correct?
Oh, yes.
So I can't tell you that before I was a believer that I saw anybody from Jews for Jesus or encountered any other messianic Jew in San Francisco, even though the restaurant I worked in was probably just a couple of blocks from the headquarters of Jews for Jesus.
Wow, now I'm really curious, Mitch. How did you find out the truth?
Well, because of my addiction to alcohol and drugs, I got fired from that restaurant.
Oh, no.
And that, my world came crashing down. Because, you know, as a man, we almost always get our identity of what we do.
Sure.
And to be fired from that restaurant because my skill set, because of my addiction, I could no longer cook at that level. And it was just devastating to me. And you would think I would have woken up, but I didn't. I kept on going down and down, what I call the cesspool of addiction. And it just was eating me up inside. I still had to work and pay my bills, so I took a job at a deli, actually, that was literally right across the street from the restaurant that I got fired from, and I watched all my friends go and cook the best food in the world, and I was just making corned beef sandwiches.
Oh, boy.
And that had a big effect on me. And one day, I was in the kitchen, and I heard a lot of commotion coming from the employee lunchroom. So I went in there, and I saw this, it was a Korean girl, and she was crying. And I just was curious, like, why was she crying? And some of the other people said, well, she brought her Bible, and she's reading her Bible in here, and we don't want that in here. And I felt sorry for her. I said, like, what do you care if she's reading her Bible or not? And we became friends. Okay. And we started to hang out a little bit. And I didn't know much about her. I just figured, hey, she seemed pretty nice. And I was still partying. And one night I came home really drunk and really wasted. And it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just kind of said to myself, well, I guess this is going to be my life. Work, drink, you know, and wake up hungover. And I went, I can't do this anymore. So, again, I never ventured into any other religion. I never stopped feeling I was Jewish, even though I wasn't practicing. And that night, even though I was drunk, it's still vivid in my mind. Ethel, I just reached out to God, and I said, God, I don't know what I have to do, but I need you in my life.
Aww.
Okay. And that's it. And I think I passed out.
But
little did I realize that's the exact prayer that God wants to hear from somebody like me. So I just went and carried on my life. But after I said that prayer that week, this Christian girl asked me a question that really changed my life. She said, you're Jewish, right? And I said, yes. She goes, well, why don't Jews believe in Jesus? And I said, well, because I'm Jewish. I said, he's for you. And she goes, but he's in your Bible. And I go, he's not in my Bible.
You know? Huh? What?
Yeah. And like, I'm an expert in my Bible because I've only read it once. And obviously a lot of Christians think that all Jews do growing up is read the Bible.
Right.
Okay? So in the back of my mind, I was going to try to disprove her. And you know the Bible that I had gotten at that class in UMass?
Yeah.
Well, as you know, Jewish people, we have a couple of traditions. If a Bible falls on the floor, you have to pick it up and kiss it. That was one of the things that I remember growing up in the synagogue. The other one is you can't put anything on top of the Bible because it's the Word of God. And the third thing is you can never throw it away.
Oh.
Because something bad will happen, so I always carried that Bible. And I have carried it from Massachusetts to San Francisco. It was on my shelf. I never read it. And I figured, well, I'm going to disprove her. And I took the Bible off. And for some reason, Ethel, I didn't go back into the Old Testament to try to see if Jesus was there. I opened up to the New Testament again. And I started reading it. And I started to realize that maybe Jesus might be the answer that I was looking for.
Ooh. And so it began.
I started to go to church with her, but she couldn't answer some of my questions because some of them were directed from a Jewish perspective. So I needed to talk to somebody else, and I didn't know who to talk to because obviously in Hebrew school they don't teach you how to pick out a church. So the only thing I knew is she was Baptist, okay? And at that time, I had moved from San Francisco to Carmel Pebble Beach, which is a little bit south of San Francisco. And all I knew was that she was Baptist. So I looked in the phone book before the internet, found First Baptist Church of Carmel Valley, went there. And after the service, I went up to the pastor and I said, I'm Jewish, and I want to know more about Jesus. And Pastor Andy Strom was the pastor at that time. He was the first person who really explained the gospel to me, as he gave me a Bible, opened it up, and it was probably a couple of months after we started to study in 1987, right around this time, that the church was serving communion one time, and I decided that I believed, and I like to tell people, Ethel, that I'm the first person I led to the Lord, because I said the prayer that I believed in Jesus. I was a sinner. I believed he took away my sins, and that now I believe that I can have an everlasting life with you. And I took communion, and my life is not it's amazing the change in my life since that time in 1987, which is, 35 years ago.
Wow. Well, that leads me right into my next question, and that's a wonderful story, Mitch. Tell us in the remaining minutes some of the ways that your life changed, Mitch.
Well, I moved back up to San Francisco, and this guy came up to me and said, hey, I know you're Jewish, and when you move up to San Francisco, I get this newsletter from this crazy group called Jews for Jesus, and maybe you want to connect up with them. I had no idea who they were, but I went to go visit. They led me back into a back room in the First Jewish Believer. This was about a year after I became a believer. I met Mitch Glazer.
Aww.
And Mitch Glazer is my boss now, because Mitch Glazer, we're going to celebrate 25 years of him being president of Chosen People Ministries, and that's the ministry that I'm involved in now for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And Mitch discipled me. He taught me the Bible. He brought me into the missions world at that time. And for the most part, after I've been involved in Jewish ministry 34 of the 35 years that I've been a believer.
Wow.
I was connected with Jews for Jesus for many years, and really found my Jewish identity. Mitch and I have been best friends for all of those years. I left ministry for a while. I helped run a family food business, which was for me pretty cool, because I got some things. Sometimes, you know, you're bound by what you do, and sometimes you might open up another door that you never thought would lead to something else. But when I left full-time ministry and really helped my family in the bakery business, I went back to school and started taking classes in seminary, and I actually started a Russian-speaking Messianic congregation in Boston called Beth Yeshua.
Wow.
And I am no longer leading it. I was a Messianic rabbi there for many years, but my duties at Chosen People prevented me from being the Messianic rabbi, but still connected, and they're still going strong 17 years. And most of the people that I ministered to came from Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
Odessa, Kiev, and so they could use your prayers, because a lot of them still have family. But it's amazing, Ethel, there's not that many Russian-speaking Messianic congregations in the United States. a lot of Messianic Jews who speak Russian had to go into just English-speaking Messianic congregations. So the Lord just laid in my heart that I should help these people, and I'm very proud of the fact that I helped, and it's still running, one of the only Russian-speaking Messianic congregations in our country.
That is truly amazing. Wow, God is certainly using you. And just a couple more questions before we end our time together. I'm curious, how did your Jewish family feel about your knowledge that you learned all about Jesus, that you believe he's the Messiah? And I'm just wondering, were you embraced? Were you rejected? What happened?
Well, they weren't too happy like most of us encountered back at that time. They really got frustrated when I said I was quitting being a chef and going to go work in a missions.
Oh.
Because what do they know about any of that?
Right.
But over the years, I have a wonderful relationship with my family, even though none of them have come to the Lord. I think they've accepted the fact that you can be Jewish and believe in Jesus. This is what I do with my life. I've had plenty of opportunities to witness to all of my family, and we have a good relationship. I actually read all of the holidays and my family, so in a sense, they understand that even though I became a believer in Jesus, I'm probably more Jewish and live more of a Jewish lifestyle than most of everybody in my family. So I think that that has helped a lot to bridge the gap, okay?
Mm, yes, yes.
Do they still know what I do, you know, currently? After I left the family business again 10 years ago, Mitch Glazer invited me to come join Chosen People, and I'm the vice president of Chosen People, and that encounters quite a bit because we have 90 missionaries in the United States. We have 70, 75 volunteers. We have a lot of short-term missions that we do. And if anybody's listening to your program and they want to connect with me or Chosen People, we do short-term trips. We have to Israel, to New Zealand, Brazil for college-age kids. We do a training in New York City every summer. I would encourage people that if they've never spent any time with Chosen People, that go to our website. They want to contact me, they can just go to the website and look up Mitch Foreman, the Chosen People, and I would be very happy to talk to anybody, especially if somebody has somebody Jewish that they're talking to and don't know exactly how to do it. I'd be very happy to help you do a good job of trying to, you know, share the good news with your Jewish friends and family.
Thank you, Mitch. And we've got about a minute left, but I just want to ask one last question. How would you like us to be praying for you?
Well, right now, we have a lot of ministry right now going on in Ukraine and Poland and Moldova and in Berlin. So a lot of our staff from Israel and Germany are from the former Soviet Union and Ukraine, and we have a lot of ministry going on. And if you want to learn more about it, you can just go to chosenpeople.com, and we talk a lot about it. But if you could be praying for our staff that right now is on the ground in Poland, helping the refugees, helping Messianic Jews, and helping just Jewish people figure out what's going to go on and next in their life, I would appreciate that, of just praying for our staff that are actually right in the middle of everything that's going on. And we're praying that the Messianic Jews will stay strong, and Jewish people might be for the first time, you know, thinking about the gospel, and we'll have the opportunity to share that with them as well.
Amen. From your mouth to God's ears, may it be so in Yeshua's name. Well, Mitch, this has been so exciting. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule to speak with me on Bagels and Blessings. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Well, maybe the next time I come after, we'll talk more about food. Since you're called Bagels, you got a food connection there. So maybe we can talk about, I'm in the process of writing a cookbook commentary, and that might be very interesting to some of your listeners as well.
Oh, I'm very intrigued. Yes, we'll do that. Okay, well, until next time, thank you so much for being my guest. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, Ethel.
Well, that was a fun interview with Mitch Foreman, and he had me at food. I'm very interested in his recipes and his book about food and all things food. Yes, I do love food. After all, this is called Bagels and Blessings, you know? So what's your favorite bagel? You know, I really want to hear from you. My email address is bagelsandblessings@gmail.com. I just want to know all about you. How would you like me to pray for you? Drop me a line, give me a shout out, or go to my Facebook page. It's just called Bagels and Blessings. You'll find me on Facebook. But I really want to hear from you. It's hard for me to know who's listening, and I want to stay connected, folks. All right, well, we have time for a short song. Let me surprise you.
Nations will be flowing to Zion when they see the house of the Lord. Running to his peaceful kingdom, shouting they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Spirit of burning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth, that everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. And shake the earth so mightily. Send your glory all across the land. Then everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Over all the glory, there will be a covering. Cloud and smoke all through the day. Flaming fire all through the night. Tabernacle for the shade. Shelter from the pouring rain. When the Lord is washed away, the blood is a fire.
That was Paul Wilbur, and now it's time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yivarechecha Adonai Vayismarecha. Yair Adonai panavalecha vikunecha. Yisadonai panavalecha. V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.